Please turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalms is generally easy to find. You just kind of open your Bible in the middle, it kind of falls open in Psalms. Psalm 107, Tony's coming to read verse 15. Psalm 107.
Psalms 107, starting in verse 15, or actually just verse 15. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Amen.
Tempted to open the door and see what's going on back there. I was watching a video of my grandson the other day. Acton is not quite 4 weeks old. You know, newborns just don't have a lot of strength in their necks, so their heads kind of bob around. And Susanna was holding him to her chest, and he was trying to get a good look at her face. So he's kind of pushing away, and he looks, and his head bobs, and it drops down. And then he pulls it up again, and his head bobs, and it drops down. But he was just intent on getting a good look at his mother's face. Actually, I don't know how many times I've watched that video. It's been a lot. I was really tempted to impose it on y'all today, but you probably don't want me to get that started. Every time I watch that and other videos that she sends, I'm impressed with the goodness of God. I just look at that boy and I think, there's the goodness of God. The psalmist said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." That's what I want to do this morning on this Mother's Day. I want to praise the Lord for his goodness. God is good, and his goodness is seen in the gifts that he has given us. So this morning we'll focus on three gifts that God has given us as they relate to mothers. The first gift from God is the gift of the family. The family was God's gift to the entire human race. It started way back in the very opening chapter of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. I'll read two verses to you. Verse 27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he created them. And God blessed them. God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.'" These two verses are very instructive for our times. Let me just point out a couple of things. First, notice how many genders there are. He created them male and female. There's no third, there's no fourth. It's two and only two. God created two genders, no more, no less. Second, notice that the first marriage, which was the prototype for marriage, was heterosexual, not homosexual. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Third, this marriage was monogamous, not polygamous or polyandrous. Adam had one wife. Eve had one husband. Kind of related to that, it was monogamous, not polyamorous. Polyamorous is an open relationship that's opened outside romantic interests. None of that with Adam and Eve. And fourth, I want you to notice that this marriage formed the first family. God told Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the earth. You don't have to be a scholar to know exactly what that means. What it means is have babies. Have lots of babies. Have lots of babies and fill the earth. Of course, you couldn't have babies without a mother and a father. And in my mind, the best part of that equation is the mother. What a gift God gave us when he gave us mothers. The psalmist said, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb." He said, "I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." I don't ever want to lose the wonder of that fact. Maybe that's the best thing this little Acton kid has done for me. He's refreshed in my mind the wonder of the miracle of life and the miracle of motherhood. Even before he was born, Susanna would send us videos of her little pregnant belly moving around with him inside. And she would probably appreciate it if I told you that her belly was always covered. She wasn't one of those sending these bare belly pictures to us. But she'd see this little, I don't know, foot or fist or something push out on this side, then it'd be on this side. And it just kind of wiggled and moved all over the place. And you thought, what on earth is going on in there? Well, since he's been born, we've just realized he's a really wiggly baby. And he's just wiggling around in there. That's a wonderful work of God, isn't it? And it should cause us to praise him for his goodness. Think about the goodness of God in creating a woman's body so that she could give that baby everything the baby needs for 9 months in the safety of her womb. And it's not like the woman has to consciously do anything. God has designed a body where it just kind of goes on autopilot. It just happens. And it does everything that needs to be done. Think about the goodness of God in creating the woman's body so that she births that child at just the right time. Now remember that the pain in childbearing was not part of God's original creation. That was the result of man's sin. It was after the fall, after the sin, that God said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing." I've often wondered what it might have been like if they'd had children in the Garden of Eden. Maybe it was a walk in the park and they just got up and went, I don't know, but we'll never know this side of heaven. To me, the greatest wonder in childbearing is that any woman who's ever been through that would go through it again. I've heard women who were pregnant say things like, "If I ever get through this, I'm never going to do this again." And then a few years later, guess what? They do it again. And some of them, again and again. And some of them even more than that. How do you explain that? I explain that as the goodness of God. Something about when you place that newborn baby in that mother's arms, all of the trial, all of the effort, all of the pain is forgotten. And they move on. And that's the goodness of God. God gave us a great gift when he gave us mothers. God also gave mothers a great gift when he gave them supportive families. Now I realize in saying that, not every mother has a supportive family. And again, that's not the fault of God's design. That is the fault of a sin-cursed world. But God's design is that the expectant mother has the support of a loving husband who helps carry the load and helps her through the pregnancy. And right now, we have more men in this church who have that opportunity than we have had at any time in the past 20 years that I've been here. So I'll just say a word to the young expectant fathers, if I may. Don't make... Oh boy, I love the way she's looking at him. You just let him have it. Don't make her do this on her own. Don't expect her just to carry on and do all the other stuff she's always done as if this is no big deal. It's a big deal. Now, I don't know what your particular wife specifically needs, and that's not for me to know. It is for you to know. It is for you to ask. It is for you to step up. It is for you to bear the load. It is for you to help her out. It is for you to be the supportive husband that God wants you to be. So open your mind. Open your heart and your ears, pay attention, and step up and make it easy for them. Shocking, I didn't hear one amen through all of that. What's the matter with you folks, huh? I'll say amen. God's design was that the woman would have a supportive husband, and he also designed the family in such a way that she would have a support network in the form of others who have gone through this and know what to expect. Others like mothers and grandmothers and aunts and siblings. It's also interesting that God has commissioned the women in the church to play a certain part of that role. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a sermon and told you that teaching is not the role of women in the church, and it's not when it comes to men. But the Bible, just as clear as it is about women not teaching men, it's just as clear that women are to teach other women. This is Titus chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "The older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children." And so as a church, we have a unique opportunity with two, three. Who else is expecting here?
Sam Rena.
We have four expectant mothers in this church, and we're a small church. And this is an opportunity for us to step up and support and help and be there. That's how God has designed it. That's the goodness of God. He's designed the church and the support network in that way. These mothers deserve our love, our support, our encouragement every step of the way. And by the way, it shouldn't end just because the baby's born. Because that's when the work begins, isn't it? And there'll be times throughout the life of that child that mother needs your support. So let's be there. And let's support them. And let's open the door for them, shall we? You betcha. We're celebrating the gift of motherhood. And the gift of family. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. So we praise him for the gift of family. Second thing I want us to be thankful for this morning, related to mothers, is the gift of time. Now, I'll tell you why I thought of that. Last Friday, I had an interaction with somebody at work, and at the end of the day, she sent me an email and thanked me for whatever I did and this and that. And then she just wished me that I would have a great weekend. Well, this lady happens to be the mother of a 5-year-old daughter, her only child, and she's just crazy about this girl, and that's as it should be. And so when I emailed her and said whatever else I said business-wise, I just ended it with the comment, go home and spend a lot of time with that little girl. And then it hit me. And I don't know why it hit me then, because mentally I've known this all along, but today is my daughter's first Mother's Day. But wait a minute. It was just the other day. It was Arletta's first Mother's Day. Where did it go? 30 years ago, Arletta birthed that little girl. And it was a reminder to me that time is fleeting. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 90. If you're into memorizing scripture, I highly recommend Psalm 90. I have it memorized. I'd need a half hour to polish it off before I could just quote it to you. But this is verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That equates to 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. When we're young, we sit back and we think, wow, 80 years, that's really old. And then when we're 80 years old, we look back and we say, where did it all go? Last March, Anna Lee Davenport celebrated her 100th birthday. As far as I know, she's the only person I know personally who's lived to be 100 years old. And her mind is still sharp. And if you were to go to her place this afternoon and ask her, she would say, the days of our years are 70 plus 10. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. It's soon cut off and we fly away. That's why the psalmist follows up with this little prayer. He says, so, and it's all based on what I just said. So, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. In other words, God, help me make the most of every moment in life. Help me not to wish my life away. Help me not to complain when the days seem long, because those long days are really flying away. Mothers, remember that. When the days seem so long and the nights seem so short. Remember that when you wonder when and if this stage in life will ever end, because it will. Faster than you think. It's going to be just a memory. In fact, time is a memory-making machine. Because all that we have to show for it is the memories. This also comes from Psalm 90. It's verse 9. It says, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." It's just a nice way of saying that life is really just a memory. And if you think about it, that's all life is. It's a memory. The only time you have is right now. Right now, you're creating what will be tomorrow's memories. So make it a good one. Live in such a way that when you're remembering, you remember the time you made for your children. That when you remember how you supported your wife. That when you remember to be thankful for the goodness of God. Something about this made me think of your mom, Debbie. Nadine Simp, she was the matriarch at this church. Nadine had 5 children. She had 13 grandchildren. She had 29 great-grandchildren. She had 15 great-great-grandchildren. And if my math is right, that's 62 children. And she died 2 years ago. I don't know how many it is now. Probably 70 or 80 by now. I don't know. But it just continued to grow. Nadine was very committed to the church. She was one of those ladies who was here just about every time the door was open. Many times, and I mean many, probably at least once a month, she's walking out the door at the back of the church there, she would say, "Pastor," or "Brother Gary," I think is what she called me, I may be a few minutes late tonight." And it was always because of ball game or a birthday or something to do with those kids. And see, what I loved about Nadine was, while she prioritized her children, she also made time for God. You can do both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. But I would always say to her when she said that, "Nadine, don't you apologize. You are investing your time in something that really matters. It's an opportunity you'll never get again. Don't apologize for investing time in your children." God has given us the gift of time that we can invest in that gift of family that He has given us. So mothers, invest it well. Fathers, invest it well. Children, and I'm not just talking little kids. I'm a children, so are you. So is Anne. She's 100 years old, but she's somebody's child. You have so much time. Invest it well. Bill Gaither wrote a wonderful little song about time. I love the chorus. It says, "We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. That's all we have. Let's use it to the glory of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. On this Mother's Day, I'm praising God for His wonderful works and the gifts that He has given us. He has given us the gift of family. He has given us the gift of time. And the third gift that God has given us is the gift of eternity. I suppose it's because I'm the only preacher in the family that it has fallen to me to bury all of my family members. Started in the late 1980s when my grandpa Gilbreth passed, and I was asked to do his funeral. And then I did the funeral for my grandma, Gilbreth. And then I buried my Granny Brewster. That's my dad's mom. We always called her Granny. And the mirror, then I buried my Uncle Boyd. Then it was my father. Then it was my Aunt Wanda. And then it was my Uncle Yvonne. And then it was his wife, my Aunt May. And most recently, it was my own dear mother. With one exception, every one of these people had professed faith in Jesus Christ. And so I see them as precious deposits in heaven. And every deposit I have made makes the prospect of going to heaven that much sweeter. The thing about heaven is, it's eternal. It never ends. Here is what I know for sure about heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Thank God. That's what we have to look forward to for all eternity. A week or so after my mom died, I had a dream. I don't dream much. Sorry, I hadn't planned on this. It just came to mind. My mom was young, and she was in her kitchen, which was her happy place. My dad was young, and he was in his wood shop, which was his happy place. And I'm not going to extrapolate from that mom's in the kitchen in heaven, but they are in a happy place. And one of these days, I'll join them, and we can catch up. And we can praise God for his goodness to his face. But I don't want to wait till then. I want to praise him now. Oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. On this Mother's Day, I praise God for the gift of family, for the gift of time, and for that wonderful gift of eternity. Let's pray together, shall we? And Father, we do praise you. You have been so good. You've done so many good things for us. Help us have hearts full of praise. Now, Father, on this Mother's Day, because we know it's a difficult day for many, many who have lost their mothers, many who never really had a mother, many who regret things about, Father, you know all those hurts. I pray that you would heal the hurts and turn the hearts towards you and replace the hurts with peace and joy and love and hearts of praise. Help us to praise you, not just today, but as we go from here. And Father, with this gift that you've given us called time, help us to invest it well. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us be steadfast. Help us maintain and invest the days and the hours and the moments in a way that honors you. And Father, thank you for the promise that we'll have all eternity to spend together. Between now and then, help us be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. For the closing hymn, we're going to sing it again because we sang it earlier and it just seemed like the best song in the hymn book for what we're doing this morning. It's 23. God is so good. God is so good. Can you sing that from your heart? Amen. God is so good. Let's stand together. If you need the hymnal, it's 23. We'll sing all four verses together.